So this morning we're looking at prayer and fasting as we seek God's face for some of the pertinent issues that our church is addressing and has to address in the future. How many of you have been involved in prayer and fasting before? That's good. That's very encouraging. But if you haven't done it before, don't worry, you're in good company. Because every time we do this, every time you fast, whether it's for a day or a number of days, it certainly feels like the first time. Because your body never really gets used to it. So there were a number of hands up, but if you're wearing one of those, we're all going into this together, by the grace of God, as if it was our first. We're going to look at two stories today. Stories about the lives of some of the children of Israel and also leaders in the community of Israel. We heard Pauline read from Ezra and also Judges. Now, Ezra in particular is from the lineage of Aaron, 15 generations. And the favor that the Israelites had come to receive from Babylon since the time of Daniel was still continuing. So the king very graciously had said to him, the temple that Zerubbabel and others went to build has stalled. Lots of things have been done, but the walls have not been built yet. So go, gather some men with you, 5,000 men, and go. This was 78 to 80 years after the temple was started. And he's giving them, in our current currency, about £4 million worth of silver and gold to take with them. They're jubilant, they're excited, they're looking forward to this. And they start making the journey. They get to this particular river, it's a canal flowing off the Euphrates. And then he stops and he tells his people, rest here. As he almost does a head count. And whilst doing the head count, he realizes that the Levites are missing, the priests, so he sends people back to go and call them. But then looking at all that's around him, he considers the journey ahead, a difficult journey, about 1,500 miles, on a route that is dangerous, and is known to have thieves, their women and children among them. They would have to travel well over 20 miles a day if they're going to make this journey in the time that's allocated, or at least they hope to get there. They can't do this on their own. They need guards. They need protection. And so Ezra considers this and thinks, I can ask the king, we need an army to go with us. We need men with shields and swords to go with us. But then he stops and he reconsiders. We are the children of Israel. These are the kings. This particular king is from the generation of kings who has heard and seen amazing works that God has done. They've seen what God did for Daniel, which started the favor of the children of Israel in Babylon. They have heard about the great things that God did to rescue his children from Egypt, parting the Red Sea, leading them with a pillar of cloud, feeding them in the wilderness, leading them to a land that was fruitful and prosperous. I have boasted, he thought, of this great and awesome God. And now what am I going to do? Go to the king and ask him for protection? What is he going to think? What is he going to think of me? What is he going to think of our God? I can't do that. So he decides, I can do the only thing that generations of leaders in Israel have done. Call a time of prayer and fasting. So he calls the people together to pray and to wait on the Lord. Sometimes prayer and fasting can sound quite daunting to some of us, but for the Christian, for the believer, it is a necessary warfare to be able to navigate the challenges that this world presents to us. Ezra, in calling this prayer and fasting, had three things in mind. They needed to hear from God. They needed God to lead them to where they were going. Divine direction. They had children with them. They needed God's protection over the children. But also substance. They needed God to protect the things that they were carrying to the temple. Because these things were going to be used for the adornment of the temple, for worshipping and to glorify God. Because he was a man of faith, remembering God's faithfulness over countless generations, he knew that God will answer them. He called this fast without a shadow of a doubt, that the God he serves will hear them and is faithful to answer. He was able to take this position because he recognized the need of God. It would have been easy to go to the king and grovel. It's almost like meeting somebody who tells you how very rich they are as a Christian and how God has provided everything for them. They have absolutely no need of anything. And then they come to you a week later. Can I borrow a fiver? And you're thinking, wow. See, it's not so much about what they're asking. It's the fact that what they're actually asking is contrary to what they've confessed. And this leader of the people of God, who once again God was showing his faithfulness through, was not willing to do that. So he took a step of faith. And we read in chapter 7, verse 9. On the first day of the fifth month, Ezra and all the people who were with him, according to the good hand of God that is upon them, came to Jerusalem. The Lord heard them. The Lord directed them. The Lord protected them. And he took them to exactly where they needed to be. God responds to our faithful cries for help. We go to our second scenario in Judges. And we read about the children of Israel again. This time is about the tribe of Benjamin. They've become so wicked. They're living a life of decadence. The rest of the tribes of Israel are frustrated with them. And they go to them and they tell them, your lifestyle is contrary to the way of our God. You must repent. But the Benjaminites were not ready for that. They were pretty much involved in everything that we'd heard the Lord condemn Sodom and Gomorrah for. So the children of Israel decide to go up against them. If they're not going to change, then we're going to go to war with them. And the interesting thing here is that they do conduct an oracle and they seek God. But what do they seek him about? On which day shall we go up against Benjamin? And who shall go up first amongst the 11 tribes? So the Lord says, send Judah. So Judah goes on the first day of battle, and they lose 22,000 men. They inquire of the Lord again, shall we go tomorrow and meet with the Benjaminites and fight them? The Lord said, go up and fight them. And again, they lose 18,000 men in 2 days. 40,000 strong men have fallen. They realize there's a problem here. They're seeking God, they're being directed, and yet they're struggling. Things are not exactly going according to plan. So they decide to call a day of prayer and fasting. I don't know if you've figured out what's really wrong here, but they didn't ask God, shall we go to war against our brothers? Shall we take up arms? Because we think that what they're doing is so against your nature that we want to fight the battle for you. They inquired which day and which tribe should go first. Well, if you've already made up your mind, then go. But this time was different. They went up to the Lord and they cried out. And they repented, realizing that they are wrong. They have been wrong about their actions. They've been wrong about the steps that they've taken. And God, in his infinite mercy, hears them. As they cry and they weep. When Israelites do penance, they really do penance. Sackcloth and ashes, and then offerings, burnt offerings to the Lord. God is gracious. God is gracious to forgive. God is gracious to bring his children back to him. We're told that they wept as they fasted, an indication of their desperation for things to change and the realization of what they've done. But God loves a repentant heart. And when they humbled themselves and cried out, it resulted in their subsequent success against the Benjaminites. God gave them the victory that they desired. God availed his purpose through them. But this time, they were allowing God to lead. They were seeking his will rather than, my husband often tells me that sometimes we get into this situation where we have a pretty good idea of what we would like to do. And then we take it to God and we ask him to bless it. Or even when we're seeking his face about directions, we have a plan B. If this doesn't work, if the Lord doesn't answer, then this will work. And invariably, we end up in a muddle. We ended up in a muddle with a flat we took not long ago. Because we probably decided on that property for the wrong reasons. And it turned out not being the right thing for us. The pain you go through, realizing that you've made the wrong decision, can always be avoided if only we seek God first before we actually make that decision and seek his confirmation. Because we're told in the word of God that God never, ever offers second best to his children. He always gives us the very best. So in our repentance, he shows mercy. In our presumptions, he's gracious. But it is only at the point of truly inviting him in and telling him that you're sorry and asking him to lead. You know, both of these stories that we've heard this morning are not that different from where we are at the moment as a church family. I have to be very careful because if I spill something, I'm going to get in trouble with John. We are in a place at the moment where we're seeking God's face about the way forward, our building project. What's God saying to us about the building project? how should we undertake this building project? We are at a place at the moment where we're seeking God's face about our children's and youth work, praying for that ministry in our church as we seek the person that God has called to fill that role for us. We're also talking about relocation, finding somewhere to move, possibly prior to starting the work. And we've got things to take with us. Not just the things, but also our brothers and sisters, because the enemy has a way of scattering the body of Christ when building projects are going on. So praying for God's protection over our church family and his hand in all things. We're also not too far away from the story we've just heard in Judges, because actually our building project has been going around in circles for a number of years. It hasn't been straightforward. What is God saying to us? What is he trying to teach us? Some of us may have more experience than others in this area. Now, I'm saying some of us very careful, that Mike is a bit sensitive about age at the moment, so I won't go there. But as we mature in our faith, we encounter so many things that forms us. But out of that also comes the experiences where we get things wrong. And we experience God's hand and God's favor and God's grace. But in this instance, where several options have been considered in the past, we're now at a place where we're saying, your way, Lord, not our way. Your direction, Lord. We need to clearly hear from the Lord. We need specific directions. You know, God can give specific directions. We've seen that in the building of the temple, right down to the cubic stones and the amount of gold and silver and all of that. It is the same God that we serve. It is the same God that we're seeking. Sometimes life can beat us up so much that we forget that it's the same God who led the Israelites out of Egypt, who parted the Red Sea. The same God who loves us so much, who sacrificed his son for us. He is the same God we're serving. We sang this morning. The name of Jesus isn't just beautiful. The name of Jesus is powerful. And time again, we sing, even with the children, all things are possible. In our wrestling, in our doubts, in our failures, he is the one who leads us safe to the place where he always wanted us to be, where he desires for us to be. In this time, in our church's life, we need that lighthouse more than we've ever needed. And some of the passages that we had the last time we fasted and prayed, I think one of them was Jeremiah 33. And it said, if you diligently seek me, if you come to me, if you desire me, if you seek my will with all your heart, you will find me and I will answer you. Isn't that wonderful? So, why do we fast? I mentioned earlier that it's a necessary spiritual warfare as part of the Christian journey, because there's certain things in our lives, in our church family, in our families, in our communities, that can only be addressed through prayer and fasting. We also fast because Jesus himself tells us that it is necessary to fast. When he speaks to his disciples in Matthew 6, 16 to 18, when you fast, do not look somber as hypocrites do. for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their full reward. But when you fast, and I like to emphasize the word when. Jesus never said if. He said when you fast, talking to his disciples, talking to his followers, us in that context. Put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father in heaven who sees in secret. And he will reward you accordingly. Fasting is a sacrificial act of abstaining from natural pleasures for a spiritual purpose. It may be for a day, it may be for a week, it may be for 2 or 3 weeks. It is us recognizing our need of God, our willingness to experience more of him, but also to unburden ourselves to him. Jesus tells us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Everything on our heart that's weighing heavy, it gives us an opportunity to bring that to him. You know, I love the word, the communion of saints. We hear the word, the communion of saints. It's easy to think that the body of Christ is perfected. But actually, we're saints through Christ. We're a work in progress, and every time we need to unload. Some of these things are done through prayer quite easily, but as I said earlier, sometimes through prayer and fasting. Fasting is consecrating ourselves to the Lord and making ourselves completely and solely open to him. Fasting increases our capacity to receive spiritual power, and it also enables us to be in tune with the Lord. When we fast, and I think I said this last time, we feed our spirit. We enable our spirits to grow, just as our bodies need food to grow, so does our spirits. And fasting enables that because it gives us that opportunity to focus primarily on God, on God's purpose, on hearing his voice. Of course, there's always the added bonus that it's a time of cleansing our colon, which is always a plus. But the distractions that we normally have as we go through our day today. I don't know about you, but the number of times I try to pray and the mobile phone goes. Oh, it happened yesterday. I turned around and there was a bit of paper sticking with a tiny hand through my bedroom door. And it says, please, mommy, may I come in? And that was the first one. The second one didn't even bother with a bit of paper, just opened the door. Can I speak to you, mommy? So many interruptions in the news, on TV. But when we fast, setting that time apart from the Lord, instead of eating, also enables us to spend that time in the Word of God. When we meditate on the Word of God, we're renewed. Fasting is not easy. That's why it's a sacrifice. But when we feed on the word and we immerse ourselves in prayer in the presence of the Lord, he gives us what we need to go through the day. And as a result of that discipline, God answers us. He's not answering us because we're fasting and forcing his hand. The Lord is answering us because he loves us. We're his children, and we've come to a place of saying, we need you more. We need more of what you have for us than what we have been doing for ourselves. It is by grace. He hears us. He answers us. And he fulfills his purposes through us. What we're doing at the moment is seeking God's face to advance his kingdom in our community. It is absolutely selfless. We're not asking for personal things for ourselves. It is for God's kingdom and for his glory. So how do we prepare for this? Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. And then we quickly move on to 2 Chronicles 7:14. To paraphrase, if my people, whom I have called by my name, would turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves, and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. When we're going to a time of prayer and fasting, we have to search our hearts. We have to check our motives and see if we're in the right place with the Lord. Sometimes it requires repentance. Sometimes it requires forgiveness. Truly, we have been forgiven without earning it, and the Lord invites us to do the same with our brothers and sisters. We have to learn to let go of the things that are likely to get in the way of this fasting season. We cannot go to the Lord and take this lightly. The Word of God tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Where are we? And how can we prepare our hearts as we approach Wednesday? You know, when we pray and ask the Lord, he will show us. He will reveal the things. It's almost like spring cleaning. That needs to be cleaned out so that he can come in and shine his light into our lives. It requires humility and meditating on the Word of God, recognizing our need of him, our lowliness, and completely being willing to sacrifice that time, that day to the Lord. Some of us work, so we won't be able to sacrifice an entire day. But it's even in meditating in your heart as you go through your day today. And when you find those moments that you'd have had a coffee or eaten something, or had a chat with a colleague, just for that day, spend that time with the Lord. We're so blessed to have Bibles on our devices at the moment. We don't need to carry physical Bibles to work. In those quiet moments, it's also an opportunity to meditate on the Word of God. I said earlier the fasting is not easy, but we must also recognize that there are some amongst us who perhaps have health issues, and that also needs to be considered. Last time I was so encouraged by some of our brothers and sisters who have wanted to fast in the past but haven't managed to do it, but were absolutely determined to do it and found ways of making that happen. And that was wonderful. It's about praying and seeking God's direction on what's best for you. You know your body, you know your condition better than anyone. So please, as we go through the day on Wednesday, be mindful of your personal circumstances and take that into consideration as you join as in fasting and praying. To be able to receive the answers that we're looking for, we need to approach this with faith. Unwavering faith. We have to go into Wednesday confident that the Lord will hear us, that the Lord will answer us. And he will. we do not know how that will pan out in terms of exactly how the answers will come. Sometimes answers come in very, very different ways than we expect, but he does answer us. Have you ever been in a situation where you've prayed and you've sought the Lord and immediately nothing's happened? And then sometime along the way, his plans begin to unfold and you see his hand and you see his love and his faithfulness. And you recognize that's the answer to prayer that I've been waiting for. So we go in with a blank sheet on Wednesday, completely open to how the Lord will lead and what he's going to do. But we go in by faith. Sometimes when we talk about prayer and fasting, it can feel quite heavy, you know? It's a day when I have to go without food. I'm not mentioning any names, but I remember somebody who thought about food all day last time. And it's like, I can't stop thinking about food. Our brain sends the signals to our body. You need to eat, you need to eat, you need to eat. But actually, the more we pray, as I said earlier, the more we overcome that. But think of this, though. This is one thing. Before I finish, I'll finish very quickly. I'd like us to think about. Isn't it wonderful? It's almost like somebody coming to you and saying, Afi, Mike, Janet, Lucia, go to that box behind the church hall. There's a present waiting for you. You normally get a spring in your step. If somebody rang you and said, I've left a present in your house for you, you will be looking forward to it, to go home and to pick it up. Now, Mike, I know what you're thinking. It's not the present that you're thinking, I promise. Thankfully, we haven't had that for a few days. Praise the Lord. But seriously, if somebody said to you, I have something waiting for you, you look forward to it. And that's the attitude we need to have towards Wednesday. We're meeting with our Father. We're calling out to him. We're asking him to lead us in the way that he would want us to go. After all, he tells us in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in me with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me and I will direct your path. And that's what we're asking him to do. And then we meet in the evening. The Israelites offered peace offerings after fasting. Ours is an offering of praise, an offering of thanksgiving, a doxology to our King and Father. And then we break with communion and we share food together. Surely, this has got to be something to look forward to. Is it? You know, the smiles are not wide at all. One thing I know is that when God calls us to do something this specific, this purposeful, he has a plan. And he will fulfill that plan. The church will be open, as Mike said earlier, from 8 a.m. Please speak to Sue if you can come. Any time in the day. We already have received a number of offers for people to come in and pray. But if you can, please let Sue know. And we'll be here. The doors will be open again by 6. If you're able to come in earlier, please do come. As we celebrate, as we rejoice, and we give thanks to God for hearing us and for revealing his purpose and his plan to us. as we go into Wednesday, let us pray that God's grace will sustain us, strengthen us, and equip us for the day. But if you're here this morning and do not know Jesus Christ intimately, if you haven't invited him into your life as Lord and Savior, then as you join in this prayer and fasting, our prayer is that the Lord will reveal himself to you so that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, in order that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his holy people, his body, the church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for our church family. We thank you for this season in our lives, Father, and all that you seek to do through us in this community. Father, as you prepare us for this journey, help us, Lord, to lay bare before you all that we are and all that we have, confident in the knowledge that you have called this day of prayer and fasting for your purpose, and you will accomplish your will in the life of our church as we seek your direction about our building project. As we seek, Father God, your protection and your prayer over our children and also our children's ministry. And as we seek your guidance over our relocation. Father, your word says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Then, Spirit of the living God, come, journey with us, equip us, and glorify the name of our Father through the offering of our sacrifice of fasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.